Would you please take out your notes? Hope you all have these when you come in. If you don't have notes right now, would you raise your hand? We'll get some notes to you. These, like, they look like this. Okay? I'd like you to open them up to the inside. And, you know, last week we did a whole message on one verse. Now we're going to just kind of pick up from there. And you'll see the words from John 15, verses 1 through 3. You'll see those at the top of the inside of your notes. And I'd like you to stand with me, please, as we, out of reverence for God, as we read this portion of Scripture from the New American Standard Bible. It's very similar to the New King James, probably to the ESV as well, but we're reading this today, the notes, the words that are written from John 15, 1 to 3. Would you read with me? I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. John 15, verses 1 to 3. How many of you have started to memorize that? Okay, that's still your assignment, so you may be seated. All these assignments today. So you look on the back page. Our microphone was stolen. We had a break in here, so I'm stuck right behind this thing. If I wander, I'll have to yell. First question, who are you? Who are you in the eyes of Jesus? Now, one more, this is very personal. Who are you in the eyes of Jesus? I want you to open now with that first question, open it up again, and I want you to circle two words that would tell me who you are. In that verse, two words. Who are you in Jesus? If you're a believer in Jesus, if you have given your life to Christ as your Savior and Lord, how does he see you? Who are you in his eyes? There's two words. Every branch in me. If you're a believer in Jesus, take a pen out right now and circle those words. In me. In me. Circle them. Keep circling those words. In me. That's who you are in the eyes of Jesus. You are in Christ. Turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, page 1156 in the Bible in the rack in front of you. Page 1156. Ephesians chapter 1. Jasmine read these words this morning. It starts out with, praise God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has what? Blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing, what? In Christ. If you are a follower of Christ, if you know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you are in Christ. And Jesus just, I mean, this didn't just come from the Apostle Paul. Jesus said, every branch that is in me. And he's talking about fruit bearing and or not fruit bearing. He's blessed us, Ephesians 1, verse 3. He's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing, those blessings that cause us to stand up when life is knocking us down, those blessings that pour out from heaven on us, give us breath give us that he is the very breath we breathe. That's a spiritual blessing. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the seal of the Holy Spirit that marks us. He listens to us. In Ephesians chapter 1, he forgives us. He chooses us, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless. That's a spiritual blessing that comes to people who are in Christ. Is that you? Are you in Christ? We begin as we're going to follow along with the notes. I'm going to just work my way right through these notes. It's right in the order of the text, especially of verse 2, but on into verse 3. Every individual of all the branches, every individual that knows Christ is in Christ. In other words, God established the connection. We are positionally connected to him, and we are to be experientially connected to him. This is for time and eternity. This is also that in him is also about a growing relationship, an ongoing, ever-growing relationship. On into, as this chapter goes on, Jesus is saying, I'm not talking to you like my slaves. I'm talking to you like my friends, because I have made you friends. It's an ongoing relationship. So who are you now? Now that you're his. Who are you? Do you literally understand, feel, perceive that you are connected to Jesus, who is the vine? Not just a word picture, a reality. That's how Jesus sees me. And that's how he sees you if you know him as your Savior and Lord. So Jesus says, every branch that is in me. Okay, what are these? These are branches that are connected to him, right? People that have surrendered their lives to Jesus. Every branch that has come to me, life, my life has been flowing into them. But every branch in me that does not bear fruit, what is this about? He created, he established a relationship with us, each and every one of us, that we would bear fruit. That things, in other words, because of our relationship to him, things would happen. Evidence of a changed life, these things would be happening. So what is that fruit? I've given you a little bit of room here to write, just a little bit. So what kind of words do you write in that space right there? What's that fruit look like? What's he talking about with fruit? What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. From Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Just, you can write these words down real fast, shorthand or whatever. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's some of the fruit of the Spirit. If we are drawing our life out of our relationship to the vine, folks, if we've been singing today that Christ is my all in all. Well, when he is my all in all, when he is your all in all, when that's happening, life is flowing through us. And moment by moment, we are being those new creatures he intended us to be. And there is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. But there's all sorts of things, fruit that's flowing. None of us, when that relationship is flowing from the vine to me, a branch, I'm just not suddenly out of control. Well, if I'm out of control, then it just evidences that I'm not walking in the Spirit. I'm not surrendering to the Holy Spirit, who Jesus makes very clear to us is in us. One of our friends who used to be here many years ago, and for many years, Dr. Jim Roskopf, who did a lot of work on John chapter 15 and about bearing fruit and abiding in the vine, he talks about this as Christ-like character. Christ-like character exudes from the person who is surrendered to Christ on a moment-by-moment-by-moment basis. Life is flowing from Christ into me through his word and by the power of the Spirit, and I'm surrendering to him. And there's fruit. Fruit like obedience. He says, do this. He says, listen up. He says, meditate. Chew on this. And as we are obedient to him, it's that obedience that is fruit. It is the giving. You'll hear us say this a lot. We said it in our membership class. It is the giving of our time, talent, and treasure. When his life is flowing through us, it's not a problem to give my time. It's not a problem to give my listening ear. It's not a problem to give the skills and the talents that I have right now. It's not. Because his life is flowing through me, and I so readily give my time and my talent and my treasure. I'm speaking for all of us right now. Not setting myself up as the ultimate. Far from it. He says, what does it mean to not be bearing fruit? Well, for all of us, if you consider a plant, plants don't grow instantaneously, do they? They just kind of keep growing out. And as we walk with God, and he keeps putting his finger on parts of our lives that need to be addressed, and as we're responsive to him, as he keeps putting a finger on that, we begin to just kind of bud in that area and bud in this area. I love that. I didn't ask Jaime and Debbie to read that scripture today, but that scripture's in my notes for today. And then when you get down, as Jaime prayed the last three verses of Psalm 19, he was saying, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Oh, so he's talking about the words and the thoughts and my heart and my will. May all that be pleasing to you. And it's once again that we just remind ourselves that, Lord, we're leaning on you to put your finger on those areas that need to be addressed. So what's happening in the life of somebody who's not bearing fruit? When we are not bearing fruit. Again, this bearing fruit is more about the process. It's more about the surrender that's happening as a result. I would gladly surrender to you, Lord. Most gladly. Those who are in Christ, and whose lives are not, when we are, our lives are not conforming to his will, if our lives are not conforming to his will, then we're not going to be bearing fruit in that area. Because when we're connected to the vine, and if you're a follower of Christ, if I'm a follower of Christ, we're connected to the vine. And obedience is flowing from that. If we're not being obedient to him, the word for in the scripture is that we are living in the flesh. We're living a carnal life, living according to the flesh, not according to the Holy Spirit. We don't bear fruit when we go our own way, when we don't trust God, when we lean on our own understanding. What's the text from that? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. When we lean on our own understanding, We just kind of abandon just listening to God. We don't understand. We can listen to God as we're opening His Word and as we pray and as we gather together in a company of friends who want to follow Christ. When we're one-on-one with another believer, but when we're not following God's promptings, we will not be bearing fruit. And we think we know better. We adopt our own perfect strategies. So what happens if we are not bearing fruit? He says he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. The word cuts off, or he takes away, in the text that you have in your notes. Just take a look at that expression. He takes away. The word is the word aireo, A-I. These are the Greek words. So you just, there's your Greek lesson for today. A-I-R-E-O, aireo. It means to cut off, or it can also mean to lift up. Now there's some debate among theologians. So is he saying he whacks it off and off it goes, that branch? Or is it saying he whacks off a portion of that branch? Or is it saying that it can also mean to lift up? Is like a vine dresser would do? Is he lifting it up and kind of securing it with twine or other branches, propping it up so it can get more sunlight? There are two ideas in this business of pruning. Two ideas. The first idea is we're dealing with dead wood on the vine. And sometimes dead wood is worse than fruitlessness, because it's dead wood harbors disease and decay. In the life of us who are in Christ, if we're not growing, the vine dresser takes the knife out, the vine dresser's knife, and he cuts off that portion of dead wood that is harboring disease. And once again, in Proverbs 139, verses 24 and 25. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my every anxious thought, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way that's everlasting. Lord, take your knife out and get to the point. May you get to the point in my life, and may I sense what you're doing to cut off that dead wood, this area that is just putting this branch at great, great risk. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. Every branch, it's bearing fruit. Again, this is the fruit of obedience. It shows itself in kindness, where I don't want to be kind. Have you ever been in a situation, maybe recently, when you were just biting your tongue? That would be me. That would be yesterday. Some of you have heard me say before, I have route anxiety. I'm always, did I choose the right route out of LA? Or never. Route anxiety just takes over as I go from here to home. Route anxiety. And I hate getting stuck in traffic. And I hate getting stuck in a line at Costco. And it happened to me yesterday. I had 3 items in my big basket. Why do you go to Costco for 3 items? Because you're a cheap Dutchman. So I I come up and there's like three lines that are not congested. And guess which one I chose? And this guy cut me off to this line and I stood in this one. And I watched, it was at least five other baskets go through while I stood in the line with the lamest checker. Okay, I'm just telling you this. Please, if you think lame, think of me, not the checker. Because I was just being, this was just, I'm just kind of boiling. Kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. I just wanted to say to that woman, I wanted to say, are you serious? And then when she finished with me, she just said, have a nice rest of the day. Okay, you know, this was my problem, not hers, seriously. The fruit of the Spirit is kindness. With this formula, it would tell you that at that moment in time, while I was connected to the vine, I wasn't responsive to the vine. And in that moment, the life of the vine was not flowing through me. That was the flesh. The fruit, every branch that bears fruit, out of a trusting relationship to God, out of a fellowship with God, out of a participation with God in what's going on in the life around me. As I am and you are participating with God and listening to His Spirit, things are happening. And there is fruit. There is love. Next one. Joy. When there's no joy, when life is just one big problem, where's the joy? We used to have banners up here. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That's what makes us strong. Where does the joy come from? It comes from also a thankful heart. Every branch that is in me bears fruit. But those that don't bear fruit, I'm going to do some serious pruning with that. And so the next point in your notes is it says he prunes. The vine dresser is so concerned that the branches be healthy and productive. And this is actually a very caring vine dresser. He's talking about his father. And the picture is this, that the father is trimming the branches so that there will be more and more responsiveness to Jesus, more and more of a relationship to his son. More and more of living out the love that we are getting from him, living it out in the lives of other people. It is a loving each other the way he loved his disciples. Can you see him in the crowd with his 12? And they're kind of fanned out and they're working the crowd for him, and they're trying to have a little bit of crowd control. And he's got this immense amount of love and a relationship with each one of them. It's busy. It's crowded. Places I don't like to be in, but it's busy and crowded. And he's got this love relationship with them, and he wants them to have that love relationship to each other. And when he sees them trying to push the other guy aside and say, Lord, when you get there in your kingdom, can I sit right next to you? You know, I call shotgun with Jesus. Can I just sit right next to you? It's a loving relationship. He said, this is how people will know that you're with me, that you're one of my disciples. If you love each other in such a way that the world will say, things are different there. A missionary in Brazil, it really, just as he described life in the early days for him, he said, we'd gather these students together, we'd play soccer, we'd break out the guitars, we'd have our singing, we'd speak the word of God, and it seemed like one after another, these young college students were coming to Christ in Brazil. And we wondered, boy, we are doing a great job. We have got a super strategy. It's just really working. And then they started listening to the testimonies. And they said, wow, things are happening here I've never seen anywhere before. These people love each other. Next testimony, these people love each other. Next testimony, these people love each other. It's that love for each other that is unparalleled in the world. And it comes from the life of the vine flowing through the branches. He prunes the branches. Now he says, you know, think of he said, you're already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. But the cleaning comes in this very gentle process of him saying, okay, we're going to go further down the path now. I want to take you further. You know this issue of patience? I'm going to take you further down that path. And patience, I know you don't like patience. You learned long ago, don't pray for patience, because there's going to have to be irritating circumstances along the way. But along the way, it's that screaming child or that disobedient child, that defiant, strong-willed child. It is that spouse that just never seems to have a nice thing to say, always critical. Go further down the road, and God, as the life is flowing out of the vine, there's always another day. Love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness. Jesus did not equate clean. You're already clean because of the words I said. He didn't equate clean with perfect. I can remember the last time I sinned. I already told you about that. That wasn't even the last one. It is a life of ongoing surrender. Pruning is the work of the word. It is. Don't ever think that you will be pruned without the word, without it in your mind and in your heart. The pruning takes place with God's word. When you come to church on Sunday mornings, when you pick up your Bible every morning or in the evening or at your break time, when you pick it up, when we sing songs, and are you expecting something to happen? Are you expecting an encounter with God? Are you expecting that God is going to speak to you when we sing? That God is going to engage you when we sing together? Are you expecting something to happen when this preacher or any other preacher opens God's word? You might be ticked off with the preacher that day. Are you still expecting God to speak? Because he's the one who said, my word will not return to me void. I'm not in that business. Pruning is the work of the word, guided by the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that calls sin out. It is the Holy Spirit that identifies sin. It is the Holy Spirit that inspires a holiness that says, Lord, my life is all about you, serving you, not me. That's holiness. It's like It's like the priests in the temple and in the tabernacle who were set aside to serve. So much so that they didn't even get land of their own. God said to his people, you take care of them. It is the Holy Spirit in God's word that promotes growth. It is the Holy Spirit who reminds us of what God's word says. Where did that come from? Have you ever had, when was the last time, maybe even the last few days or 24 hours, when that maybe even while I've been talking, God has been just kind of saying, shh, don't listen to that. Listen now. And if he might just say, as the Spirit would, reminding you of something else that Jesus said that just kind of took over for this moment. You see, Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the sin, the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He said when he comes, he will remind you of everything I said. And it is the Holy Spirit that will put us on the track toward righteous living, which is that righteous living. That righteous living is the fruit. Do you hear that? Write it down. The righteous living is the fruit that he's after. And he wants us to bear more fruit. I've covered all those notes. So here's the question. Are you submitting? Am I submitting? Who are you? Who are you? Now that you're his. Are you in Christ? I believe God's word will bear me out on this one. Folks, if you're in the vine, you're always going to be in the vine. The vine dresser's knife is going to be, it's going to be for all of us. If there's dead wood, he's going to lop something off. Do I dare say this? If there's dead wood in any church that refuses to be anything but dead wood, he lops it off. Is it no longer in the vine? My theology from Romans chapter 8, the end of Romans chapter 8 is, it's always in the vine. But it may be just, that's it. You're done. Time to come home. If there's areas of your life, my life, that need some cleaning, he's going to just with great skill deal with the branch. Deal with me and deal with you lovingly, that we will be responsive and obedient to the vine and the vine dresser. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. We know that you've said to your people through Old and New Testaments, empowered by the Holy Spirit, inspired by the Holy Spirit, breathed out by the Holy Spirit, that you want us to bear fruit that reflects an intimate relationship with you. And Lord, you know how quickly I go from being responsive to you to being just all pent up with frustration and maybe fear and anxiety and frustration. Thank you, Lord, that your Spirit and your Word meets me at those times. And I thank you that there are faithful friends who come alongside of me and maybe even with just a conscience-probing question, just let me know I need to think a little bit more about this. I pray, Father, that you'd find us all to be practicing fresh surrender to you, knowing how much you love us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.